Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Christine Marie.
Ah.
Hello, girlfriend.
Yeah. I have pretended many times to be Christine Marie.
Yes, right.
Sometimes I will go in pretending to be you, and then somehow I get caught, and then I have to
do a little shuffle.
Yeah, I did a song and dance, and it's like, ugh. I just kept the ruse going. I feel like I don't need to correct somebody if someone assumes I'm Christine Marie.
Right.
But
if you're dealing with, like, for example, our vet, who we dayboard Elliot.
Yeah.
They go by our email address.
Yes.
And it's Christy Girl.
Yeah.
They just call you Christy.
Right.
And naturally so.
Yeah.
Because that's how the email is.
Right.
And we just don't bother to correct people.
I don't, no.
Yeah.
And then the other day, you had to make a withdrawal from your bank, and you sent me in to go, because I know the bankers.
Yeah.
And I went with your license, and I signed your name, and they gave me a cashier's check, and they're like going, oh, wait a minute, you're not, I'm in the car. He's like, oh, I'll go out and verify in the car. We'll take care of this. So, I mean, it is just what it is.
Well, right? You know, we also experienced this week kind of a passing of the guard.
Yeah.
And we sold our MG.
Yes.
All right, a little MGA. We've had it for over 30 years.
Yes.
And it was the story goes that when I first saw it, I just knew somehow in my spirit and my soul that it was going to be ours.
Yes.
It was in a parking lot in an apartment complex. An apartment complex of over 400 apartments.
Yes.
I saw this car walking into a party that I was going to. And lo and behold, someone that was there said, oh, that's my car. And I went, oh, my God, that's your car? And I said, if you ever want to sell it, let me know. And maybe like 6 months later, if that.
She's like, hey.
She's like, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about selling. I'm like,
Done.
And it's been our car. And I just thought it would be our car forever.
Yes.
And I mean, we've only put about maybe a couple thousand miles.
I put a couple grand into it, but yeah.
No, but a couple thousand miles on it in those 30 years.
Oh, for sure.
And we started thinking about, you know, after we took that course, what was that? The Chinese girl or the Japanese girl.
Yeah.
On how to edit your house.
Right.
And she would say, like, oh, you have to, like,
does it give you joy? Wake it up.
Does it, and let it, you know. And I kept talking to it. And it was like, you know, I am getting a little tired just being stuck in your garage and freezing for the winters and
hot in the summers,
And we know that, you know, the old man can't get in because of his knees and all of that. And so it's been on my heart a couple of years now to sell it.
Yes.
And we decided to put it on Auto Trader. And
no, Classic Cars.
ClassicCars.com. That's right. Sorry. That's absolutely right. ClassicCars.com. And we only had it on there maybe a week or two?
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, then Classic Cars called us to say, hey, why not try our new auction site?
Right.
And we did that just on the quick whim. I mean, like, it was like 2 days later, it was on the auction.
Yeah.
And
I don't think we were emotionally ready.
We weren't.
Yeah. And so, we did go through the auction, and it didn't meet our reserve price.
Right. Got close, though. Got real close.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was almost grateful it didn't.
Me too. Because it just felt too fast.
Yeah.
And so then after the auction, it went reverted back to just being an ad.
Yes.
And now, and then, you know, I got many, many inquiries. But then I got this one inquiry from a girl, and I think she didn't even see it on Classic Cars. She just
Googled it
because it was her mom's favorite car.
Yeah.
And her mom was coming to visit from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Or someplace. And she wanted to get this for her mom for, I don't know, a birthday or some kind of surprise. And she just said, I want it.
Right.
And so we did a little, you know, kind of back and forth, and come to find out she and her husband have this kind of a cool restaurant. It's like a James Beard award-winning restaurant in New Orleans.
Right.
And she's just like a joyful person and a sweetheart. And it was like, oh, this is the right fit.
Yes.
This is what I've been waiting for.
Yes.
And she understood how cool this car was and that it was something that was going to go from our family to their family.
Yes.
And because I got inquiries from like, oh, the CEO of the British car club in America, you know, things like that.
Right.
You know? And I was like, yeah, she won't be happy. She wants to be in a family.
Right.
And she wants to be in good, you know, a good weather climate.
Yes.
Where she can just be out and be in, because she's been in commercials and she'll be in parades and all that kind of fun
yep.
stuff. So I feel in my heart, it was kind of interesting, though, when the car carrier came. This guy came in this long enclosed trailer.
Just a pickup truck. Nice pickup truck.
Yeah, but pulling this long enclosed yep. trailer. And it can hold three cars
mm-hmm.
in, you know, enclosed.
Yes.
And they just took it away and said
yeah.
goodbye.
And you felt, you said we all had to watch it go. And we did. And
yeah.
you want me to record it going. And then, of course, halfway through, it ran out of memory. It's like, okay. So.
Your phone went, but I didn't.
No, exactly.
Your phone ran out of memory, but I didn't.
You didn't. You kept the precious memories going.
I've got the precious memories going.
And,
I got it.
And now we're just in that little sweet spot of time where we're waiting for that 3-day period for them to fall in love with the vehicle so that we can release the money from the escrow and call it done.
It would be complete.
And it would be complete.
Yeah,
yes.
The whole transfer.
The final thing will be us 24-hour overnighting the title.
Yes.
Get it down there.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so
that's
pretty
amazing.
We're almost done with this. And
it's amazing the bigger things are.
Yes.
The more it requires of you.
Oh, I know.
In terms of, you know, having to have an attorney, having to have an escrow account.
And, oh, right.
And, you know, we're in the midst of this purchasing a FedEx business.
Right.
And that is not a little easy wheel just
no.
to just roll out.
No.
Those are like many spokes of the
right.
wheel and many different parts and attorneys and escrows and
oh, yeah. It's been so overwhelming to the point where you go, this is why people don't do it. Because because at some point you think to yourself, am I making a mistake?
Yeah.
Could I lose everything?
Yeah.
Or is this going to end up bad, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Because along the way, you meet people who have made a beautiful life for themselves.
Yes.
And then you meet people who have crashed and burned.
Yes, exactly.
And so...
And you don't really know what the difference was. Was
yeah.
it God's grace? Was it luck? Was it, you know, was it drugs? Because you're like... Okay, if I don't partake in the drugs,
right,
I won't crash and burn.
You don't know, though. You just
don't,
you don't know.
And the truth is, I keep training my brain to think of it differently, which is how blessed are we to be able to make these decisions?
Yes.
You
yes.
know?
I totally agree with
because
you.
Because you can
totally blessed.
Or you can train your brain to going, I just want to, you know, get me a job that somebody else's risk money's on the line. You know, just pay me.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yeah, I get you.
I don't have anything in line.
Yeah.
You know, it's all going to be okay.
The journey has been this, though, because for a couple of years,
yeah.
you know, maybe more, we've been looking. And within the last year or so, we looked at bread runs.
Yes.
Because we're looking to transition out of the grind of mm-hmm. of trucking. And so we thought about, oh, you know, it'd be nice just to have one bread truck,
right.
one I know it's a 5-day-a-week gig.
Yeah.
You and Julie, you and Dad
could
split it.
Yes.
And we looked and you guys did the ride-alongs.
Yes.
And, you know, Dad did like several.
Yeah, he did.
And the one that we were really interested in, he had to keep getting up earlier and earlier, like
yeah.
at midnight to get there be there at 2:00. Load up the van and then
to be at his first delivery at 4:00.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, you're done by 10:00.
Yeah,
but still, you know. It was,
well, then
it
all
was,
of a sudden, you thought, is this the next thing I want to do for the next 10 years of my life? Is
right.
have my husband and my daughter mm-hmm. be up at midnight?
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, okay, does that make sense?
So then I really did. I prayed about it.
Yeah.
And I prayed like, well, what is it that we do?
Yes.
That we do now
yes.
that we can transfer over
mm-hmm.
that's those skills into something where we just manage it.
Right.
And that very few things came up.
Right.
But the FedEx kept coming up over and over and over again. And we definitely were looking. We had hired some consultants that actually do this thing. And it was kind of great because once we got in there and we became clients of these consultants, you know, and we thought, oh, we'll never find something in Illinois because there's states that have like many.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Like Colorado.
Tennessee. California.
Florida.
Yeah.
They have
many.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you don't ever see them come up in Illinois.
No.
And when this one came up, we're like, well, first off, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, sure.
I want to talk about the spiritual side or how, listen, we're scared shitless sometimes on this stuff.
Yes.
Because we're doing something that is, we're taking all of our resources or a lot of it and saying, okay, we're going to turn it into a business so that we can transfer out of driving fully, you know, because it is hard work to be a truck driver, you know, even though Dad and I do it well. You know,
you guys do.
You know, you're gone 12. You're gone 16 hours a day.
Easy.
Every single day, you're gone 16 hours.
And sometimes
hours.
Overnight.
Yeah, and sometimes you're just like, okay, is this how I want the next 10 years of my life? Mm-hmm. I've done this, but what was interesting when we first got to the consultant, this one kind of interesting FedEx route came available,
right.
But it was worth like $1.5
million. Right.
I think, you know, which was fine. You could get, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was a big stretch.
Right.
And it was a gem in the sense that it only had like six or seven drivers or five or six drivers.
And it was just 5 days a week because most FedEx runs are seven.
Yes. But it was in downtown Loop.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay, what's this about? What's this about?
And I said, let's bid on it.
Let's bid on it. And we did all the work. We did put all the information in and put a bid on it, put an offer in. Most likely wasn't a bid, an offer.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was declined. He took a cash offer. You know. But what was interesting is that it got us stretching so much that when this other one came in, it was like, oh, sure, why not?
Because we had called our banker. And,
and
we told him, you know, we put an offer in. And he went, Oh, okay.
And we're like, you do SBA loans, right?
But the capacity, how we had stretched during that time, it was a period of several weeks that we were engaged in this. Doing that stretched the capacity of our brain.
It did.
So when this came available, and the reason this came available because it already had an offer on it, and that person somehow didn't meet the criteria or whatever,
right?
And it became available.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was like, oh, this one.
This must be the one for us. Yes.
Yeah.
Closer to us.
Closer.
Not exactly. I mean, because most of the time people are remotely managing them anyway.
Right.
So, but we're just close enough that if something happened, we could go in and, you know, say hi and all that stuff. It was just weird because I think about that a lot, is that if you are afraid to do something,
right,
you know, pretend that you are actually having to do something greater than that.
That's exactly
and
right.
And like, get like, oh my God, you know, I gotta actually be like on TV in 8 months. And I'm like, how do I want to look in 8 months again on TV? And like, oh no, not that. You just gotta be on Zoom, you know, or whatever.
Right.
You know, you just gotta go, you know.
Yeah. There is something about, and so then when we brought this even to our banker, he was like, oh, this is doable.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be doable, guys.
Exactly.
And he was grateful.
He was grateful. So even our banker was like, once we brought in the second one, like, oh, this seems more in alignment to what we can do. And you just go, sometimes you just got to stretch yourself so far beyond.
Yeah.
And then it kind of cleans up the cobwebs, right?
It did.
It cleans up the cobwebs.
It takes the scales off your eyes.
Yes.
And you get down to the nitty gritty, and so let's say 120 days later, maybe we're coming down to the wire here,
yes,
where we might actually close.
I know,
by the end of this month, possibly,
and we
either that or in July.
Yeah, and we don't have a hell of an idea what we're going to do yet.
No,
we don't know how this is all going to work out.
No,
but what I do know,
no training yet.
But what I do know is that, and there's no training involved because FedEx makes it very clear, we're not, this is your business.
Yeah, most people are surprised, though, when we say, oh, we're going to buy a FedEx business. They go, but I don't understand that.
What's that? Like one of those, like a UPS stores? No. No. You know, those guys who come to your house to deliver
the white
stuff?
White trucks with the purple and orange?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How does that work? But it's unlike UPS.
Yeah.
FedEx has this model.
Yeah.
This business model. And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's we're ecstatic and scared.
Yes. And ecstatic and scared shitless.
And a little bit just, and appropriately so, you know, here's the thing about faith, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had faith that God was going to give us an idea.
Right.
A spark of an idea
right.
that we could transfer from working 16-hour days to being, quote-unquote, semi-retired
right.
for my you know, not right. doing something still, but, right. you know, still having money coming in that you can, like, fix a house and not feel weird, you know, and still think about, you know, doing bigger things
right.
instead of just
right.
going, okay, how did we shut this stuff down, right?
Right. Right. That's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. Like, I got to start shutting stuff down, or I got to, mm-hmm. you know, think of other ways of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're to the point where it's no longer faith. It's going to happen.
Right.
I got a text from my banker, which this is why I love my banker. Okay.
How long has he been with us? Over 20
15
years?
15 years.
15 years?
Yes. I got him when I had that sports nutrition store in Davenport. That's mm-hmm. how I met him.
Uh-huh. And he's been the greatest guy.
Yes.
And he looked old when we first met him.
Yes.
And now he looks younger.
I know. I think he's like my Aunt Irma. You know, I have an Aunt Irma who has never changed her hairstyle ever since I've known her. I mean, mm-hmm. she's always had like kind of like a shorter pixie kind, always the same hair color.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, when I was young, I always thought she looked old. But now she looks the exact same thing. I mean,
right.
in some
She's
ways,
like,
I'm like,
reverse.
We may be 50 together.
Kind of my Benjamin Button type
exactly.
thing.
And that's how, like, my Uncle Wally is, too. Like, he looked old when I was young.
Yeah.
But his look has never changed.
Right.
He's got the same haircut, the same glasses, and the same look. I'm like, you know what?
It works.
Dang, you look good, Uncle Wally, because you look like you did 30 years ago. And I'm the one that feels older, like life is really. Oh.
Wow, what happened to Julie?
Yeah. Julie's got to think about having to be on TV soon. or something like there's that show called Be Positive. This girl gives up a kidney. I'm like, well, maybe I got to think about giving up a kidney. Like, I get real healthy for that. Yeah. You know, go to my altruistic side of me, you know. Like,
yes. Maybe that'll work.
That, yeah. Well, exactly.
You were going to say something, though.
I was going to say something.
Was about faith.
And so now we're no longer in the faith part.
Right.
Because what is faith? Faith is the substance of things not hoped for.
And the evidence of things not seen.
Well, it's basically here.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, and the banker. So anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, my parents growing up, even now, for whatever reason, my mom hates to have more than one. I mean, hates to only have one bank. I don't know what that's about with you.
Right.
But you don't like having your money or accounts in one bank.
I know.
So we've got three different banks. And so we need to take money out of our one bank, which is a famous U.S., you know, big
brand.
We
actually have four banks, don't we?
Yes, I don't know. And then if you call the online banker your bank, then you get four. But anyway, and it was weird because we couldn't get a hold of them. We couldn't just call them directly. We made had to make an appointment to talk to them 24 hours later.
Right.
They called the wrong number. And then this other banker who I've known, and the bank has changed names three times.
Yeah.
But I still know the president, and I have his cell phone. We text each other.
Right.
You know, he responds to my text.
Right.
And he texts me back and saying, yeah, we'll close early. I'll put the money in escrow, and I can go on vacation, and all is good.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
He's the kind of guy that gives Julie like $50 gift cards for Wendy's and stuff.
Yeah. He's like, here you go. Thank
you.
Well, I love it when my banker says to me, I just want to say this has been a very busy time for me because of all the PPP stuff and, you know, COVID stuff. And he said, but you've literally pushed me along this process.
Yes, he did.
And I'm like,
well, I'm grateful and I want to thank you, Julie.
Well, and here's the catch, though. So like Friday, I sent him a text and I said, hey, you know, because we had debated because he's going on vacation in about a week and a half.
Right.
And I said, let's close before vacation. We'll just put the money in escrow. And then when we close in the business, we can pull from escrow.
Right.
He goes, good idea. Let's do that. And then he goes, I'm sending it to a corporate for final approval anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, what? I said, and I texted him back. I go, this is just a formality, right? Because I don't have to like worry all weekend long. He goes, right. He goes, you're already approved. I just have, this is here. It's done.
Thank you for not telling me that.
Oh, yeah. I would have freaked out. I would have called you up. I'm like, I got to read you this text from my banker. He's like, okay, what's it say, Julie?
All this?
He says, well, he's just now putting the paperwork to the, you know, to the to corporate for final approval. I'm like, we're like 90 days into this. And I'm like, what are we going to do if he says no? And he, but luckily he didn't. You know, he's like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. He dots all his I's and crosses all his T's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And besides that, it's collateralized the hell out of it. You know, like, give me a break.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to me. Like, like all these little
how
steps.
How it all works. Yeah.
And it was so cute because I'm basically the conductor of this orchestra.
You bet.
And Dad will be the one running the business.
Dad is the pretty face.
He's a pretty face right now. But he's the one, and all along the way, we've been blessed.
Yes.
And I'm going to say God has blessed us.
Yes.
Because, you know, like, I don't know if I mentioned
very
before,
so,
you know, we had to have a corporate meeting
right
with the big wigs of FedEx
right
from our terminal.
Right.
And it was kind of cute because the person who we're buying the business from, he's like, you know, Julie, I think you should go instead of your dad or go with your dad. I'm like, okay. Why?
Well, our dad, he's a pretty face.
He's a good guy. He knows his stuff. And then
he goes, well, we had to do this computer thing, and he had to start filling the forms out, and your dad was so slow. I go, sit down,
right,
move out.
I'll do it.
Let me do it.
Yeah,
let me do it.
Like, and
it
was like, I get you. And I said, when somehow we were given the opportunity to do it all over Zoom.
Right.
And
thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
COVID.
And we took the tragedy of COVID.
Yeah.
And we plussed the shit out of it.
Right.
Our family plussed the shit out of COVID.
It was so cute, though, because you guys had the big wigs of FedEx.
There was
like four or six of them.
Four.
They were on Zoom. And you and Dad were because they allowed you to come on board, which is not normal.
No, not normal.
And so I'm able to watch you guys because I'm not on Zoom.
Yeah.
But I'm able to watch you guys.
Right.
Not see the guys. And so I'm hearing their questions and stuff. And they asked Dad a question. And we had primed Dad.
Yes.
We had really worked with him.
Yes, we did.
And we educated the shit out of him, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing they asked him a question, he just goes, well, it's all about attitude. I'm like,
we never mentioned attitude.
God.
We never mentioned attitude. Attitude.
Where are they pulling that from?
Attitude. Attitude is like this nebulous thing that's not tangible that no one can quantify. And we talked about attitude.
And my heart just sank. And then I hear a little Julie, wish she had her like professor glasses on, and she has a pencil, and she's sitting right next to Dad, and she goes, yeah. And then you added,
like as I agree with my father, that attitude is a very important thing. Also,
however,
safety, and
however,
also all the technology we're going to use for safety.
Yeah.
And here's how we're going to do it. They're like, oh, okay, great.
And they thank you. That's what we wanted to hear. And then I heard Dad just keep going like this. Safety.
Safety.
He just say, and what about this, Mr. P? Okay. Safety.
It's attitude.
And
can't
safety
be a hothead. And I'm like, yeah.
And then it was something like, well, I'm going to teach my drivers not to tailgate.
And I'm just like, okay, this is good. But I was able, we got through the long meeting.
Yeah, it was 2 hours long.
And that was the beginning part of being approved.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, thank God.
Yes.
But we have jumped through all of these hoops beforehand.
All along the way.
And which is so interesting because at some point you're like, can I have this meeting first where you don't like me or you like me enough to hire me?
Yeah.
And then I don't have to jump through the 100 million steps to get there.
Right.
But no, that's
not
how
it
works.
Just the opposite.
Just the opposite.
Yeah.
Just the opposite. But here we are.
Yeah.
And now here's the thing. So we had faith for all this. And we prayed our prayers. We seated. I've been tithing faithfully since the beginning of the year. That was my goal for this year. I have always tithed, not consistently.
Right.
You know, I mean, the true 10%er, you know, I haven't been always truthy in that, you know, but I've always been generous, but never, you know, but this year I'm just like, I'm going to hit it every single month.
Yes.
I'm going to calculate it. I'm going to hit it. I'm going to donate it.
Right.
And to what gives me spiritual joy.
Right.
You know, you know, a lot of times to charities, I'm just saying, God bless you.
Right.
You know, you're my spiritual feed right now.
Right.
I love what you guys are doing. You know, it doesn't have to go to the church,
right?
You know, necessarily. Right. I know people disagree, some people, but that's just
is what it is.
Yeah. But and now we're to the point where it's no longer faith.
The baby has been birthed.
Yeah, and I'm just asking for God for grace, like yes. God, please
still bless
whatever us. You know. We know there will be obstacles,
right?
Have us have great wisdom so that we can get over these obstacles.
Well, the owner of the business that we're buying it from informed Julie this week that one of the trucks, we have like six or seven,
yeah,
blew an engine,
yeah,
and he has to pay for
on his dime still. Like, yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
and I felt bad for him,
yeah,
because he's been pushing to get this done faster, but none of it's been our problem.
Nothing.
I mean, nothing has been our problem.
But if it hadn't been for him pushing.
But he's been pushing. And if he hadn't been pushing, it wouldn't be this far.
No. Because FedEx doesn't do anything, really.
No. They don't. They really don't want to.
No.
They just want to, like, everything to get done
right.
without as much hassle as possible.
Right, right.
And so that's kind of where we're at. And but it feels good, but it also feels scary. Because now it's a real tangible thing, not in this faith department where I can just be in the blessing.
Right.
Now I'm in the blessing. And the work.
And the work.
And the ups and downs.
Right.
Because I do know, here's how I know how the world works. The truth is, everybody gets paid by solving everybody else's problems. Which
Beautiful.
Means that everybody has problems that need to be solved,
That's
including
exactly right.
me.
Exactly right.
And so we will have to pay people to solve our problems, and they'll be like, great, I'm willing to take your money to solve your problem.
Right.
As we get paid to solve other people's problems.
That's right.
And the world continues
to
move
forward.
We get
paid to solve FedEx problems.
Yes.
And other people get paid to solve our problems.
Yes. And everybody gets paid, and the world keeps moving forward, but none of it gets moved forward without problems.
Right.
And so I'm going to say the word God again, but this world that we've created, this God world we're part of here, is like, it's amazing to me.
Right.
Because
how it all happened, right?
Yeah. Because
we really do feel blessed in this.
Yeah.
We've been in this, like, continual state of grace.
And I do know that our brains require a little push to get
yes.
I want to complete some stuff. I want to have problems to solve.
Yeah.
And to have things be successful and work things out.
I'm going to even suggest this. Like, here's another thing. About 3 weeks ago or something, maybe a little bit before, when we knew that we had sold our MG.
Right.
I said, you know, because we're all into editing right now.
Yeah.
And everybody knows, like, if you've read The Clutterfly Effect, our book, you know that you have to release stuff if you want to bring in new stuff.
Yes.
Because the world, you know, doesn't want a void.
No.
So you have to create that void.
Right.
And so at one point I was sitting here with Julie, and I said, you know, Julie, it may be time to sell your Mercedes.
Yes.
And
within
like 24 hours?
Yes.
You know, you're one of Doug's son-in-law.
Yep.
Said, hey, I heard maybe you might be interested in selling your Mercedes.
Well,
we hadn't even told Doug, I don't think.
Well, that's not exactly how it went, but close.
Okay, tell
Can
me.
I tell you, this is how the world works amazingly when you are at least open to the appearance of it. Or like, sometimes we don't see how it works because we're not high enough vantage point.
Right.
We don't see how the little turns and twists that all come together to make this glorious thing work. But, you know, Doug calls me up and he's like, David sold his truck, which he only had for less than 6 months.
He had, and he sold it for more than he bought it for.
Yes. The dealership took it back for $2,000 more than what was on the loan or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, great. And,
He's editing.
Yeah. Cause he's editing. They're moving. They sold their house. They're moving all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, Doug's like, you should have David lease your Mercedes because he needs a car right now. I'm like, I'm not going to lease my Mercedes.
Right.
If he needs to borrow the car, he can just borrow it,
right.
You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, $20 a day. I'm like, okay. But then I told you about Doug's fantastic idea about leasing our Mercedes. And you're like, you should see if David wants to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, we're getting rid of the MG. I wouldn't mind another convertible that was newer, like this century.
Yeah.
And that your father and I can get in with our without our knees crackling and and feeling like we're literally 8 inches off the ground.
Right.
And we don't, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. We don't need two cars like that. Right. We don't need our Mercedes plus another car like that. Right. And I just said, hey. You know, I saw him that same day, literally that weekend. We were at the thing, and I said, hey, do you want to, he goes, do you, I was talking about, I heard you sold your truck. He goes, yeah. I go, just out of curiosity, do you want to buy our Mercedes?
Yeah.
He goes, are you kidding me? Yeah. I go, no. He goes, I've always thought that Mercedes is going to be mine.
No way.
Yes. That's exactly what he said. I always thought that Mercedes is going to be mine.
Just like my MG. Yes. Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
And then Doug took credit for it. He goes, I got this going. I said you want me to lease it to him. I said, I'm not leasing you a vehicle. And I said, now I'll be honest with you, David, because I know you're driving 2 miles a day, this car is perfect for you.
Right.
Because it doesn't get the best gas mileage.
He's a principal of this Rockton school.
Vice,
And he just drives it from there to his house.
His new home. It's like 3 miles there and back. The seats are impeccable. The car looks great. It's a beautiful
ride.
It's got
a sunroof.
It's a beautiful ride. You know, it's just not...
And you took Aunt Irma to Ohio in it, didn't
you? And she goes, I like this car.
Yeah.
It's a great car.
Got a lot of leg room.
Got a lot of leg room. Yeah. And I've been thinking, too, about what my next faith car will be, because this was an E-Class.
Yeah.
And I really would like an S-Class.
Yeah.
But the thing where we differ is that, and it will be a used one, because I just can't think about spending that kind of money on a car.
Right, right.
Well, especially the way I drive.
Right.
I think I put 10,000 miles in that car for 4 years.
I agree.
So I just need a...
And that was only because you did like to funerals with Aunt Irma. You
know
what I mean?
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's just a little bit just driving around town.
Exactly.
Going to pick Doug up.
Yeah. But I really like the white interior, the cream interior, and you don't like that.
No.
I felt happy in my car because it was so bright in there.
Right.
And it matched my dog, which was a Wheaton Terrier. And when he was in it, I'm like, oh, he looks adorable in this car.
He did.
So I don't know. I that's where we differ. You wouldn't mind a dark, you like a darker color, dark interior.
A little bit. Yeah.
And I doubt we'll get one because the next car will be most likely a convertible that's taller. Yeah. Like a you kind of want a Volkswagen convertible.
Kind of do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of do,
Jules.
And then you said, but by the way, I'd really prefer, you know, a Mercedes camper first. And I'm like, oh, okay. I go, how about we just get this done first? And then week two, after we get the...
We're kind of in this moving around the chessboard phase right now.
To make what will make us happier in the next 10...
Going forward.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. And I'm all about blessed to be a blessing.
Right.
How can we be more blessed to be a blessing, and how do we receive it? And then you threw out, because I've been having some health issues, just some chronic Lyme issues.
Right.
And if you've had Lyme disease before, you know what it means.
You know what it means, yeah.
And they come and go, but like right now I've had them for months, and it's been a while since I've had full-blown Lyme, but this is just like, they're just straggling symptoms. Mm-hmm. And then you told me this story about, you know, receiving your healing, it's already inside of you and all that stuff.
Right.
And then, you know, and I'm like, yes. I'm like, okay, I can gear myself up to, you know, not complaining about it for a while. Not complaining about my body ailments, you know.
Well, I just wanted, there was this one thing I saw on TV.
Yeah.
And it was like a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, this woman had the exact same symptoms that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And she had it for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And they said that she had spent over several hundred thousand dollars trying all different kinds of, you know, remedies and cures and all this stuff. And nothing helped. And then she just decided to work it faith way, you know.
Yes.
And so I said, you know, Jill, you might as well add this to your repertoire.
Yeah. That plus, you know, I haven't done my breathing in a while. I need to do my breathing.
Oh, yeah.
And my cold showers.
Yeah.
And get out the bad oils and lower the sugar. Like, okay. And then at some point, I'm just exhausted. But it feels okay because... I need to invoke that part of me that loves doing that stuff.
Right.
I like doing that stuff.
Like you want to come along for the ride now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this is all, then you, okay, Lord, you're doing all this for us. Might as well change me too now.
Exactly. That's kind of how I feel. Changed.
I kind of how I feel.
I'm open to be changed for sure. And I have to have the
transformed.
Faith. Yeah.
Well, what is that quote? Be renewed by the transforming of your mind.
I think it's be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Oh, okay. But I'm a little dyslexic. All right.
The same stuff.
All right. School me.
Well, and you know, it's funny because we were...
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
So exactly. One of the things that
I'm just trying to renew my mind.
And I appreciate that. And one of the things that you have faith for, again, is that of selling a screenplay.
Yes.
Not just writing, because we've written screenplays.
Right.
That doesn't require... But... Selling one. You actually want to have a transaction take place right. That was not all generated by you.
Right.
You know, we've created screenplays.
I want the reciprocity.
Yeah. You don't want our movies just to be like start from finish us.
Yes. But I don't want my screenplays to sit in a file box in the basement.
Right. And so what you decided to do this summer while we're buying a business and learning everything else and editing our life, you said, hey, this school that I love is having a pretty important screenplay writing course, and we'll meet industry moguls and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to take it, and I want to make sure you take it with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. And so we did, and that's where
that was just you. We had to actually.
Yeah, you had to apply.
We had to apply.
We had to write a screenplay five pages. Bio, everything.
And get picked. It wasn't just like, oh, we just pay our money.
No. This is a full-blown, you had to apply. Mm-hmm. And it's a spiritual course. It's a, you know, on a,
yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting. So here you are, you put out there more.
Right.
During this time, like, God,
right.
I want to have faith for this side of me to be recognized as well.
Well, that's interesting how you put it. That's an
interesting. Is it?
Because I mean, that's true in a way, but I wanted to be of service.
Yes.
It's not like I wanted to be recognized, but I really wanted to have this service in a greater way for me.
And this was the way.
And I've always felt this.
This was the way to do it through writing and so forth.
Yeah.
And then immediately got an email about the course.
Yeah.
And then put it on our plate.
Yeah.
And then here we are though. The faith part is not. The faith part was about getting improved. I mean, getting accepted.
Right.
Because we had to do the work and we weren't sure going to get accepted.
Right.
And
when
we
went on our vacation, we spent a good part of the time writing this.
Yes.
And at the very end, you actually had trouble.
Downloading it.
Yeah. It was kind of
interesting. And I think I actually said, I'm going home to do this at home. And you're like, just, it'll all be okay the way it is. Do your best. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then on you guys' way home from vacation, I said, you got accepted.
Yeah.
And that went from faith to grace.
Right away.
And now you're like, okay, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
And on your faith board, you're putting out there, I want to sell a screenplay.
Yeah.
I want to sell a screenplay.
Right.
God, I have faith to sell a screenplay
right,
here.
Right.
We're going to do the work.
Yes.
We're going to take all the courses. We're going to do all the homework.
Right.
Even though you were resistant to some of the homework already, it's only week one.
I had to watch The Fugitive last night.
And you even said to me, like, this really, I have to do all this stuff. I'm like the notes say, if you're a screenwriter, you consume at a different level the greats.
Yeah.
You for different reasons.
Right.
That's your job.
Yeah.
You need to know about this stuff.
Yeah.
And look at it through the eyes of a screenwriter.
I guess I was, you know, we had the first class and some homework, and it's like four times a week.
Yeah. And it's not. It's an intensive.
It's intensive. Yeah. For like 12 weeks, something like that. And I kind of thought I was going to be able to breeze through it.
I know you did.
And now I'm just humbled.
Yeah.
Because I've met some of the people that are participating. Yeah. And they're like wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and eager. And I'm like cynical.
Yeah.
And, and I thought, oh, this is going to be good for me.
Yeah, exactly.
If I can stay open, it'll be good for me.
Well, and here's the thing, too. If we're going to be put on this world to, you know, live to be 100, 120, Greg Braden, 200, you know, if you're going to plug yourself, your consciousness into the computer, infinity, you know, then you're like, well, you know what? I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
And I got to be humble enough to say, I'm ready to learn more.
Yeah.
You know? And it was great because the first thing you said once we got the first class, I'm in the background off of Zoom because I can't be seen.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just be real. I'm not giving them, I'm not doing it too. I'm just helping you.
Right.
And I'm just your partner.
Yeah.
But you're the one, you're the focus. And, but it was, first thing you said was, I'm going to have to stop swearing.
I know.
And I thought to myself, not necessarily.
Yeah, that's what you said.
And then you said, yes, I need to change my swearing a little bit and make it more like, I think you said, hell's bells. Oh, hell's bells. I'm like, hell's bells?
My mom was saying, hell's bells?
Hell's bells? Okay. Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket. I mean, like, you know.
That's my mom.
Green eggs and ham. Oh, my gosh. Green eggs and ham. Like, what does that mean? What's green eggs and ham mean?
I know.
Not good.
I'm not going to give up swearing totally. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to swear less.
Well, and then I was listening to Pink the other day on my YouTube channel, and I was just playing her while I was driving.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, when she can swear, she allows herself to swear.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, you know, sometimes the F-bomb is appropriate.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about faith either.
Right.
My faith bomb.
And it's not that, you know, the younger generation hasn't heard the F word.
Of course. Well, it's so cute because, like, I just thought of this. Because being on keto, you got fat bomb, you know, these are fat bombs, and then you got faith bomb, and you got the F bomb.
Yes, so that's right. A lot of bombs.
I was at Aldi the other day, my favorite store. I love me and my Aldi.
My wife. So my favorite store.
For whatever reason, they have come up with whip topping, like Cool Whip, for keto people and vegans, which I find very interesting.
Mm. What is it?
The first ingredient, so there's no sugar in it, but the first ingredient is like canola oil. which like the next step of cleaning out your diet is getting rid of all the
oils.
Yeah. Not the very high industrialized oils.
Yeah.
I was thinking though, do you think sunflower is a high, I mean, I know like it could be.
I think it's not good probably.
Yeah. Probably not.
Not good.
Probably not.
Can I say something too real quickly about Gregorio, your brother?
No, tell me about
him. I saw him on Friday. I think it was Friday.
Yeah.
For little Pippa's birthday, we met. And he looks awesome because in the midst of COVID and everything, he's lost like 50 or 60 pounds.
Yes.
But, you know, he looks transformed.
He's transformed.
If you could see, he has a before picture.
Yeah.
And he used Noom
to
do this. And so Noom contacted him and said,
did he really?
You are a living testimony to what the power of Noom did. Could you do
as opposed to a dead testimony?
You know, that this guy looks like totally transformed.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he might be on a commercial soon.
That would
your
be awesome.
Brother.
That would be
and
great.
And you can see, luckily he took a before picture.
Yes.
And of course, it's one of those where you really stick out your gut, you know.
That's what he said. He goes, I really try to stick out my gut.
Yeah, I'm like, I
hope so.
I see this picture, he looks like a Buddha.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. But then to see him in person, I mean, it's so sweet because he just looks, I mean, he looks strong and muscular.
Yep.
And healthy. He doesn't have any sagging skin. And I thought, oh, this is what youth does for you. You know? I mean, he does look great, though.
Yeah, he does.
And to think that he'll be on a commercial.
Makes you happy.
Oh, it makes me so happy.
I know.
Because then I know, oh, my God, he's going to be discovered. He looks like Tom Cruise. I'm gonna have a guy in Hollywood.
Tall
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But we'll have a guy in Hollywood that'll, like, pitch our screenplays for us.
There it is. See, this is how faith works for you. You like to see the puzzle already laid out in front of you.
Yeah.
So that you know, like, okay, God, you're working in the background on this, right?
Right.
You're working this all out for me. I'll do the work knowing that you've got it all covered.
Yeah.
But you need to know ahead of time how it's all going to work out.
It's so cute, though. Our family is so, you know, woke in the sense that little Pippa, she's 8, and I just mentioned, did anybody see Cruella yet? You know, and she goes, oh yeah, we saw it, and she's telling me about it, and then she goes like this, and the backstory is
the backstory.
The backstory.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, I didn't even say that word till I was, you know, like 30 years ago. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I wouldn't even know what the backstory is.
Like, what's going on? Yeah, that's pretty wild, isn't it? These kids know everything so much.
They're so smart.
They're so smart.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun to see.
Except I asked them, they go to a Catholic school, and I said, you know, tell me about the nuns at your school. And they both went like, what are nuns?
Nuns?
What are nuns?
We got nuns.
Like, and I'm like, oh my God, you go to Catholic school. And for me, you know, we had nuns.
Yeah.
I had nuns for 12 years.
I mean, those are those women are the muses to your horror stories that you've written about.
Yeah.
The nuns, you know, and and their bad habits.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know, right?
That's so cute. The nuns and the habits.
Yeah. And their bad habits.
Yeah. Aardvark, nurse, she's losing her patience. Nuns, See, they have bad habits.
We aren't allowed to swear, so I'll be damned if they're going to take away our puns. You will take away our puns from our cold, dead hands. Yeah, that's all we're left with.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all I'm left
swearing.
With.
Yeah, it's exactly. Just puns. Oh no.
I know. Well, it's kind of cute because I want to apologize to everybody because for 2 weeks in a row we had kind of a technical issue.
Yeah.
With the downloading our show. Somehow I downloaded one that was a year ago.
Right.
And then I re-downloaded a new one for last week, and then they said it was the same one I downloaded a year. I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes, this is fresh. This is completely fresh and new. But we were talking previously about bucket lists. Mm-hmm. We were kind of. Our whole hope when we went away on vacation was to kind of come up with a new goals list,
right.
To-do list.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And then we started talking about it, and then you all of a sudden said to me, goes,
yeah,
I swear to God that if you think this is a bucket list, I'm not even in par of this.
Yeah, you were like, you were saying, oh, let's go here. And
let's not wait like anymore. Let's not wait anymore.
Like, let's go to the ocean. I'm like, God. Damn you, Julie.
Is this a bucket list?
Is this a bucket list you're giving me?
Is this like
how dare you?
I go, I don't want a bucket list. If this is trying to give me a bucket list, I'm going to piss on your bucket because that's not what I'm about.
I know. I got really mad at you. I'm
you
so
did.
Sorry.
I go, well, what's the difference between a vision board and a bucket list?
I can tell you.
I go, yeah. One, I'm not even contemplating death. And the other one is there's a time limit on my life.
Yeah.
And I don't want a time limit on my life. I don't want to think about it.
Well,
and I'm like, okay.
When you get up, you contemplate death. I mean.
I know. I do, yeah. Too.
But I'm not doing. I just don't want a bucket list.
No. And so you call it. Now you're working on your faith and grace list.
Right.
You know, that's kind of where you're at. Yeah. And if I. And, you know, I have the bruises to, you know, to prove that I will no longer use the word bucket in our life. No problem. No.
But it's a brave new world out there because, for example, when we applied, you know, for the movie, the screenwriting thing, nobody asks you your age.
Mm-mm.
Nobody asks you, you know, how beautiful you are.
Right.
Or whatever. It really isn't that kind of a world anymore.
No.
You just get in on your merits.
Well, I
and
like.
And, you know, and really, literally, you know, 30 years ago or more, I mean, you had to meet all the qualifications.
Yeah. I think 30 years ago, they were throwing around the director's couch.
Well, even our teacher yesterday said, you know, Hollywood's tough.
Yeah.
But if he goes, not only do you have to look good, be good, blah, blah, you got to smell good. You know,
yeah.
He was like, it's a dog eat dog world.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, the thing is, we're a faith-based community.
Yes.
And we don't participate in that.
No. We don't, and therefore we don't have to participate in that.
Right.
We lay it all on the line, and I mean it's just pretty. It's pretty wonderful,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And but I was listening to Dax Shepard on his, you know, Armchair Expert podcast,
right?
And he was interviewing Vincent D'Onofrio, which I love him.
I love him too.
And Vincent mentioned, he said, "I want to say something since #MeToo came out," and he goes, it has been a nicer working environment on set.
Hmm.
the sets are just more pleasant to be around.
Right.
He goes, and I go, I get that. Because the truth is, it wasn't all men who were, behaving horribly.
Right.
It was just enough of them that it's insidious on a set in the workplace.
Yeah.
And so you may have one a-hole who's trying to fill up everybody because they're a person in power.
Right.
Makes everybody else feel uncomfortable, even the guys on the thing, unless you're totally testosterone-ed up and, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
And so I heard that go, oh, my God.
There is a brave new world out there.
Yeah.
And even though some people we might think of as what I call a flat affect.
Yes.
You know, but it's just how they're trained now.
Right.
That there's nobody that is overly sweet or whatever are underly.
Nope.
It's just a...
A gig.
Yeah.
Everything's just be professional.
Yeah.
Be polite.
Yeah.
Have fun. Right. But, everything is just about being sweet and professional.
Right.
And it's interesting, though, because we've been watching that show Hacks on HBO Plus.
Yes.
And it's kind of, to me, it represents really...
it's tough.
Yeah. But who is it? Joan Rivers' life.
Yeah. Oh, it's based loosely on that.
Jean Smart plays a Joan Rivers type character. Right. She's a comedian. She's got a Vegas act.
It's a great show.
And she makes a lot of her money on QVC.
Right.
Okay, which is definitely what Joan Rivers did.
Yeah.
And
she has one daughter.
One daughter. Yeah. And but what was interesting about it is that don't know where my idea is going. Oh, the character, Jean Smart's character, she has to hire a 20-something writer. And she's exceptionally woke, but she's also cruel. I mean, she's
the writer.
Yeah. There's a very cruel streak, she's so woke, but she's also so centered, personally oriented.
Well, it's like Bill Maher would say, the world doesn't belong to you, that generation. They think they own everything or they discovered everything.
Yes.
And, and that's exactly what she personifies.
Yes.
And then there's Jean Smart, who plays this tough broad who had to scratch her way up to where she's at and still has to maintain that, and because of that, she's cynical and tough.
Yeah.
And so both of these two clash all the time. And it's really... It's poignant.
It's very poignant.
The way
I'm gonna, I heard this. I want to share this with you real quick. Oh, go ahead. It's poignant So in the episode, episode 8, Jean Smart's and she's testing our new material in a small comedy club.
Oh, right.
And there's a guy there, a comedian before her, that kind of gives her a little shit.
Oh yeah.
And
he's also the MC.
Yes. His name is in real life. That's Adam Ray, which I didn't connect with, and he's a consistent guy on Adam Carolla's podcast.
No.
Adam Ray. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God.
No.
And it was kind of a cool scenario because in the show, I'm not giving anything away, but I'm going to give
it.
I
hate it when you
but,
do that.
Jean Smart's character, why can't I think of her name?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember either.
Anyway, she's on stage and Adam Ray was basically a piece of shit to her.
Right.
And she's like, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to be this way?
Yeah.
And how much, what would it need for you to stop? And he throws a number.
That's right.
$69 million.
Yeah.
And she's like, I get it, 69. Oh, you're so charming.
Funny. She goes, but what about 1.2 million?
No, she had 1.69.
Oh, 1.69.
Yeah.
What about 1.69 million? And she's on stage and he's
everybody's recording her.
He's heckling her.
Yeah.
And she goes, what would it take? What about 1.69 million that you right now walk away, not just walk away from the stage, but you walk away from comedy forever.
Yes.
That you never set foot in a comedy store on stage again.
Ever.
Because you are a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, and do you think you're that good that you'll make over 1.69 in your lifetime? And everybody's like going, take the money.
Get the money.
Take the money.
And I love it because he goes on stage and he says, I can still be on podcasts, right? And she's like, no. You can't do anything. You can be the funniest guy in the cubicle.
Yeah. You are allowed to be, for 1.69, you can be the funniest guy in your cubicle.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at the oil change facility.
Exactly.
That was a great.
Oh, it was great.
That's such a great line.
Oh, it was great. And it was wonderful. And everybody's recording her. And it was great. But you get that. And you get like, things are still changing.
Yeah,
but
because
not...
there's a different way to do comedy.
Yes.
You know, than just to be mean.
Yeah. You can be internally mean. Internally mean. You can be self-effacing and stuff like that.
Yes.
In some ways, that's all it is now. It's right. like you're telling your story.
Right.
Because you don't want to offend anybody, you
yeah,
know?
And,
yeah. And I when I
can you imagine though, when I grew up, it was like Don Rickles and those
guys.
They just you would go into their be in their audience and like expect that they were just
you were hoping that they would be they would
tear
pick
you to shreds.
They would pick you.
Yeah. Please, please tear me to shreds.
Exactly.
Tear me a new a-hole. You know
exactly.
Like. But can I say one something
yeah,
too about hacks? Is that I've also been watching Better Call Saul.
Mm, yes.
And I had resisted this show for a long time, and now I cannot not watch it.
Yeah, it's
it
fabulous.
Is so darn good. I'm like in awe of the writing.
Yeah.
I just like, sometimes I just like, oh, I'm not worthy.
Mm-mm.
I'm not worthy to see Mm-mm. how good this show is and how well it's written.
Yep.
And how good the acting is. And
it's just wonderful.
So I want to just give a shout out.
Shout out.
To Better Call Saul.
I agree. So if we're going to like recap this show, it would be like an apology for giving you two old shows in a week.
We're sorry.
Two, it's okay to, you know, create the space for newness to come in.
You bet.
I have to say though, I've had a little twinge not having the space in our driveways and
yes.
our garage.
Yes.
It's like,
you
whoa.
Said you felt naked.
I did feel naked.
And that's good because
something new will come
something
in.
Something new is going to be coming.
I better
in.
Have my intention set.
You bet.
That's what I want.
That's
so,
right.
And then.
Because if you don't, you're just going to fill it with the same old, same old.
Exactly. We don't want to do that.
No.
And we don't have to have bucket lists because that. But we can have
vision boards. Because rather than cuss, I'm going to quote the Bible.
Exactly.
For lack of a vision,
yeah.
my people perished.
Got to have your vision, people. Got to have
a bucket.
All right, Griffin, how was the show today?
It was great.
It was great.